Yesterday was the day of Prabhupada's arrival in America, and in Vaisali we sung the first of the songs that Prabhupada wrote on the Jaladutta. And now we're going to sing the second song that he wrote as he arrived in the Boston Harbor.
Oh. Thank you. Thank you. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So Giriraj Maharaj is going to read and comment on certain sections of this song, this prayer by Srila Prabhupada, and he has instructed me to also read to a certain point. So we'll read the introduction. On September 17, 1965, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, arrived in Boston aboard the can you hear back there? Arrived in Boston on board the ship Jaladuta, carrying within his heart the orders of his spiritual master to spread the teachings of Sri Chaitanya beyond the borders of India throughout the entire world. As he looked upon Boston's bleak and dirty skyline, he could understand the difficulty of this sacred mission and felt great compassion for those godless people. Thus, with perfect humility, he composed this historic prayer in Bengali, praying for the deliverance of the fallen souls. So, verse 1. My dear Lord Krishna, you are so kind upon this useless soul, but I do not know why you have brought me here. Now you can do whatever you like with me. So, very, very strong sentiments Prabhupada is expressing here. Firstly, Krishna, he's always kind to his devotee. So Prabhupada, in his humility, he's calling himself a useless soul, and that Krishna is so kind. But if you are so kind, why have you brought me here, to this place? Obviously, you have some plan. It's also interesting how Srila Prabhupada sees his coming to America as Krishna's bringing him. Although he himself was making so much endeavor to fulfill the mission of his spiritual master and come to the West and cultivating Sumati Murarji to get her to sponsor his journey. He had to convince her. It wasn't easy. She was reluctant because of his elderly age and the fact that he didn't have any friends or relatives
in America. So he had to convince her, but still he's saying to Krishna, I don't know why you brought me here. So ultimately he's saying that it was Krishna who made the arrangement and who has brought him here to the United States. So that is how the devotee sees any experience that he has in life. It's Krishna's mercy. One time Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj was begging, doing bhiksha, going door to door in Navadvip Dham. And some young boys, mischievous boys, they started to throw stones at him. And he saw the situation in a completely different way than we would, at least than I would. He said, hey Gopal, if you don't stop throwing stones at me, I will tell Mother Yasoda. So he was seeing it. He was seeing it as Krishna. We would see rascal boys misbehaving. We would become angry at them and want to correct them. But his vision was completely transcendental. Gopal, why are you throwing these stones at me? It means through these boys, but Krishna is doing everything. If you don't stop, I will complain to Mother Yasoda. Because in Vrindavan, when Krishna is misbehaving, either pinching the babies or stealing the butter and the yogurt, then the Rajbasis, they go and complain to Yasoda Mayi that your Kanaya, he's misbehaved. Please correct him. And then there are different narrations in the Srimad Bhagavatam, how when they see Krishna's beautiful face, his sweet smile, and they see this and then they feel so much love and affection for him, and then they tell Mother Yasoda, it's okay, he's alright, don't worry, please don't correct him, don't chastise him. He's such a nice boy. We were just a little bit overwhelmed, but actually it's nothing to be concerned about. Anyway, the principle is that Prabhupada is seeing this arrangement as Krishna's arrangement. And actually we have to also try to develop that vision, to see Krishna's plan in everything, to see Krishna's arrangement in everything. That we have surrendered to him, and so he is taking care of us. And sometimes we may experience negative setbacks or disappointments. But actually Krishna has something there for us. And we can try to understand what that is, and then we will never be disappointed in life. We will be always happy in Krishna's mercy, even in adversity. And so, Prabhupada, why have you brought me here? Whatever the case, do with me as you like. And this is very much the mood of this song. Prabhupada's complete surrender. I am your instrument. You can use me. You can engage me as you wish. I have no agenda of my own. No personal agenda. My agenda is whatever you desire. I'm here to make that my life and soul, to give everything to you, to please you, to serve you. Then in his next verse he says, but I guess you have some business here. Otherwise, why would you bring me to such a terrible place? In the beginning he's saying, you are kind, but then why have you brought me here if you are kind? Obviously, there is some business. Otherwise, why would you bring me to such a terrible place? Interesting perspective. In India, everyone wants to go to America because it's the land of the free and the brave. Is that right? but here, Prabhupada is arriving in America and he's saying, terrible place. Once when he arrived in London and the press were there to interview him. Oh, no, he was already there living in London. And one famous presenter, he had his television show. He would invite different personalities to his show and ask them questions. And actually he would ask them difficult questions and embarrass them on the set, and that's why he was so popular. The show was so popular. So he invited Prabhupada, and the devotees were reluctant to allow Prabhupada to go. Not this man's reputation, that he would try to humiliate Prabhupada on the screen. And so they were advising Prabhupada humbly that, "Prabhupada, we don't think you should go for this." And Prabhupada, no, it is our duty, we must go. So Prabhupada went and he sat comfortably on the chair. And then this interviewer, he starts with some casual question just to make you feel comfortable before he brings in the punch. So he asked Prabhupada, "So how do you like it here in London?" And generally everyone gives the same cliche answer. "It's wonderful, I really like it, I'm really enjoying myself here. So good to be, in this great city." That's generally, the expected response. Be positive on the screen. Prabhupada said, "London? London is hell." And he was just shocked. He didn't know how to carry on because it wasn't the expected response, the usual response that people give. Prabhupada actually stumped him. And, there were seconds of silence. He had his plan, before him. But that wasn't part of the script. London is hell. So there were some moments of uncomfortable silence. Then Prabhupada, he saved the day. He saved the interviewer. He said, "But it is a great credit to the British people that they have built such a beautiful city under such hellish conditions, hellish weather conditions." And so from then on, this gentleman was very respectful, and Prabhupada actually got to preach on the tele, and he was very respectful to Srila Prabhupada through the rest of the interview. So Prabhupada was so expert like that. So Prabhupada's view, coming from Vrindavan, coming from Goloka Vrindavan, or Gokula Vrindavan in the spiritual sky, is that this material world is hellish. And whether it is America or England, it's all the material world, and so it's hellish. So he's saying, and he's just come from Sri Vrindavan Dham, Radha Damodar Mandir, and now he's arriving in Boston, and why have you brought me to this terrible place? Another thing that I'm remembering is Prabhupada's lecture in Atlanta. When he sat and he saw the beautiful deities of Gornitai, and he sung the song Nitai Parakamala, I think.
The
Paramakaruna song. And then he gave his talk and he said that Gornitai is so merciful that they have come to this far off region, so far away from home. So Atlanta, it is quite a major city in America, in the world. But Prabhupada called it a far off region, so far away from home. It's far away from Mayapur, from Vrindavan, from the spiritual sky. So his perspective is that this is a terrible place. So, but he's here only for Krishna's work, only for Krishna's pleasure, only to fulfill Krishna's desire, and that is to deliver the conditioned souls, to give them a spark of Krishna consciousness, a ray of bhakti. And then now Prabhupada is describing why it is a terrible place. Verse 3. "Most of the population here is covered by the material modes of ignorance and passion. Absorbed in material life, they think themselves very happy and satisfied, and therefore they have no taste for the transcendental message of Vasudev. I do not know how they will be able to understand it." So this is why everyone is covered by ignorance and passion. the nature of passion is that we become feverish to enjoy material life. We hanker. We make schemes and plans. And then, when they are not fulfilled, then we become disappointed and we fall into ignorance, depression, apathy, disappointment, bewilderment, madness. So like this, bhoga tyaga, desire for enjoyment, and then so-called renunciation, the sour grapes philosophy of the fox that couldn't catch those grapes. And anyway, they're sour. Who needs them? Who wants them? So that is, at first he's trying so hard to jump and catch them, but when he's not successful, then what is it anyway? He becomes very renounced. So that is our state in material life, material conditioning. We are constantly fluctuating between these two states of bhoga and tyaga, desire for enjoyment, and then false renunciation. And because of this, it is difficult to develop attachment or attraction for the transcendental message of Vasudev. We're so absorbed in materialistic life that the message of Vasudev has no appeal. And so Prabhupada, he's wondering, how will I be able to tell them of Krishna? How will I be able to tell them of Sri Vrindavan Dham and devotional service? It's a very, not only is it very difficult, it's almost impossible. A feat. And it is a miracle that he accomplished, that he was able to do it. No one else could do it. Even all the other acharyas, great acharyas who appeared in this world, they taught in Bharatavarsha, in India, where the Lord Himself made His appearance, where the Vedas are generally understood and respected, but that Prabhupada was able to come to this foreign land and instill this Shraddha, this faith, within the hearts of the Westerners. It is a great miracle. Bhaktivinod Thakur envisioned it and endeavored for it himself. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur personally spoke with the Western, as did Bhaktivinod Thakur, personally sent his own disciples to the West to try to do it. And he was maintaining them in London. But it was Srila Prabhupada who was actually successful in fulfilling this miraculous feat. And, you know, by reading these songs, we can get a taste or an understanding, a glimpse of how and why. It was his surrender to Krishna, his humility, his absolute faith in the instruction of his spiritual master. When we were in Bombay some years ago, some Sri Vaishnavas, they came to the Chaupati temple. They wanted to speak with somebody, and so they were introduced to me. So we sat in the temple room, and they said, "We have a very important question." And yes, please, if, no, we're not very qualified, but we will try to answer. They said, "Who is Prabhupada?" And I said, "Well, Prabhupada, he's our spiritual master. He took, you know, Krishna consciousness to the West." And I started, we know that. We know about his life and his achievements. But who is he? It was a very, very esoteric question. And they said, I said, "We should explain a little more what you want to know." They said, "Ramanujacharya, we know that he is Shesha, that he is Lakshman, that he is Balaram. We know. So Ramanujacharya, he, you know, was able to teach Vaishnavism throughout India, and mainly in southern India. But your Prabhupada took it all over the world. Who was he? And I said, you know, we can't answer that question. Once Prabhupada was asked, who are you? And this is what I told him. I said, once our spiritual master was asked, who are you? And he said, if I told you, you would faint. And that's as much as we know. But we can only, you know, understand that he's such an intimate servitor of the Lord. So intimate that he's fulfilled such an important, such a confidential service. Fulfilling the vision of the Acharyas, fulfilling the plan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who said, Pritivichayatiyate, Nagaradigram, that in all the villages and towns of the world, my name will be chanted. So then their next question was, how did he do it? And I said, well, you know, he went and he chanted, and they said, no, that's the external, but how, actually how did he do it? Because no one else was able to do it. And I said, well, you know, it's also a difficult question to answer, but what I suggested was that his faith in the words of his spiritual master, that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati gave him the order, and he understood that it was the desire of his spiritual master, that it was the desire of the Acharyas, and the desire of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And because of that faith, that because it was their desire, so it would be. Because of that faith, then he was able to... the faith and the surrender, that he was able to fulfill the impossible. So then, verse number 5. How will they understand the mellows of devotional service? O Lord, I am simply praying for your mercy so that I will be able to convince them about your message. And so we will conclude here this part, and Giriraj Maharaj will continue from verse 6.
All living entities have come under the control of the illusory energy by your will. And therefore, if you like, by your will they can also be released from the clutches of illusion. I wish that you may deliver them. Therefore, if you so desire their deliverance, then only will they be able to understand your message. So, in answer to the question, how, Srila Prabhupada answers here, by your mercy, by Krishna's mercy. But Krishna's mercy is not the whole answer. It is actually by Srila Prabhupada's appeal to Krishna for his mercy. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has discussed how the conditioned souls get bhakti. He begins by proving with evidence from the scriptures that one cannot get bhakti by karma or jnana, by fruitive activities, by mental speculation, by austerities, by charity, by mystic perfections, or by any such means. And he quotes the verse from the Bhagavatam, Bhaktya Sanjatya Bhaktya, that bhakti comes from bhakti. But how does bhakti come from bhakti? What is the actual process? Then he puts forward the proposal that someone may say that one gets bhakti by the mercy of Krishna. But Krishna is equal to all. So we cannot say that the cause of bhakti is the mercy of Krishna, because Krishna would bestow bhakti equally on everyone, because he's equal to everyone. He's the supreme father of all living entities. So then Bishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur says, well, one could say by the mercy of the devotee. And again, one might say, well, the devotee should be equal to everyone as well. But Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur says that the preacher, the Madhyama Bhakta, Prema Maitri Kripa Peksha, he gives his love to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he makes friendship with devotees, he shows mercy to the innocent persons, and he neglects the envious. So the function of giving mercy specifically to the innocent is the preacher's. It is the function of the preacher. And therefore, even though a Mahabhagavata like Srila Prabhupada in the ultimate sense sees everyone equally, sees everyone as servant of Krishna, and therefore in no need of mercy. But when he takes the position of a preacher, he functions as a preacher, and he gives mercy to the innocent. But how does he give the mercy? He prays to Krishna to give mercy. And therefore it is said that the mercy of Krishna follows the mercy of the devotee. I have my own personal experience. I met Srila Prabhupada in 1969 in Boston. And I was touched by him. I felt that he was the spiritual master that I had been looking for. And after some time, probably after, maybe 3 months, the devotees needed a pujari. In those days, anyone could be a pujari who had first initiation. So they thought, well, I've been there for 3 months, so why not recommend him? So Satsvarupa Maharaj was the temple president. He recommended me. Srila Prabhupada was in L.A. at the time. So I guess in one sense, I was actually initiated in L.A., like many of you were. And he sent back a letter. Your name is Giriraj. Giriraj is a name for Govardhan Hill, where Krishna used to tend his cows. And sometimes devotees take a stone from Govardhan Hill and worship it as Krishna. And he said some other things, but then he said, so I marked it in your presence when I met you, and I prayed to Krishna that he may make you aware of the importance of Krishna consciousness. So I think that if we look at our qualifications, we don't find them. Our qualification is actually Srila Prabhupada's mercy, that he felt something for us and he prayed to Krishna, just as he says here. And because Krishna, yes, this is the next point, someone could raise the question, well, you know, why should Krishna listen to the prayer of the devotee? I mean, so many people are praying to Krishna. Why should Krishna listen to the prayer of the devotee? Is that not also partiality in Krishna? But Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that of all of Krishna's qualities, the quality of being affectionate to his devotees. What is your name, Prabhu?
Mine?
Yes? That's it. Bhaktavatsal. That is the quality of Krishna that is considered the supermost of all. Of all of Krishna's qualities, Bhaktavatsalya, the quality of being affectionate to his devotees, is considered the supermost. It's not a fault in Krishna, but it's the most exalted quality of Krishna. And he really has no other desire than to please his devotees. Just like the devotees have no desire other than to please Krishna, Krishna really has no desire other than to please his devotee. So when his devotee, like Srila Prabhupada, prays to him to give mercy upon the fallen souls or to any particular soul, Krishna readily does it. He readily does it to please his devotee. And years later, I found the verses that Srila Prabhupada has actually paraphrased here in verses 6 and 7 in the prayers of the personified Vedas. The personified Vedas pray to the Lord that by your will the living entities are placed under the control of Maya, and therefore by your will you can release them from the control of Maya. And the same verse was quoted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Vasudev Dutta. When Vasudev Dutta prayed that let all the sinful reactions of all the living entities in the entire universe come on me, Lord Chaitanya, well, of course, first he was overwhelmed with love for Vasudev Dutta. I mean, Lord Chaitanya actually began to tremble and weep out of affection for Vasudev Dutta. I mean, we generally wouldn't accept the living entities. I mean, we wouldn't accept the sinful reactions of any living entity. You know, there's the famous story of Valmiki. Valmiki was a thief. But he wasn't stealing for himself. He was stealing for the sake of his family. And then Narada came to sort of expose the fallacy of mundane family attachment.
And he asked Valmiki's wife and children, you know, that your husband is stealing for your sake, not for his sake. You're enjoying because he's stealing for you. Will you at least share in some of the sinful reactions? No. Why should I? He's the one who's doing the stealing. I'm not the one. So, you know, we don't want to take anyone's sinful reactions. And here is Vasudeva Dutta. I mean, even our own sinful reactions are hard enough to tolerate. You know, and here's Vasudeva Dutta saying, you know, he'll take the sinful reactions for every living entity in the whole universe. I mean, we can't even conceive of how much suffering he would have to undergo. And he wasn't saying it with any duplicity, like sometimes we say things to sound good, you know, like we want to say the right thing, like we're pure devotees, so, you know. But he actually meant it. So when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard what he said, you know, his heart melted, and he embraced Vasudeva Dutta. But then he said that actually, you don't have to suffer their sinful reactions. Because just by your desire, they can be liberated. You know, because Krishna fulfills the desires of his devotees. So by your desire, he can liberate them without your accepting the sinful reactions. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quoted the same verses from the prayers of the personified Vedas, that, O Lord, by your will the living entities are brought under the control of Maya, and therefore by your will you can release them. So this is, from one point of view, the secret that out of Srila Prabhupada's sincere love and compassion, and because of his intimate relationship with Krishna, he prayed for us. And therefore, Krishna reciprocated. But again, what is the method by which we get the mercy? Even coming to Srila Prabhupada's letter to me, so I prayed to Krishna that this soul may become aware of the importance of Krishna consciousness. In other words, we become aware of the value of Krishna consciousness. And then we take to the process that Srila Prabhupada gave us. And that's the second part of verse 7. I wish that you may deliver them. Therefore, if you so desire their deliverance, then only will they be able to understand your message. Because many people heard Srila Prabhupada's message or heard Krishna's message, but not all developed faith in the message. And that is the beginning of bhakti, ado shraddha. So when we say, how does one get bhakti? What he really gets is shraddha, which is bhakti, but in the beginning stage. And the faith is in the words of the scriptures, or the words of the spiritual master, that glorify the process of bhakti. And therefore, Prabhupada, you know, in utter humility, prayed that Krishna make his words suitable, and he also prayed that Krishna enlighten us or inspire us with appreciation for his message. And therefore, you know, in the mood of utter surrender, Srila Prabhupada really saw that Krishna was doing everything. Krishna was inspiring him to speak, and Krishna was inspiring us to appreciate what he said. And I'm sure even we, as servants of Srila Prabhupada, have been in the same mood, not to the same degree, but we've been in the same mood on book distribution. You know, we've prayed, you know, please, like, empower me to approach this person. Please inspire me to approach this person. Please make my words suitable. And we would pray, especially like the person is like looking at the book and thinking, we'd pray to Krishna within the heart, please inspire the person to take the book. You know, please inspire the person to do service. And that is the mood. That is the mood. Of course, here Srila Prabhupada is speaking in the mood of compassion, you know, praying for the sake of others. But we can even pray, you know, for our own protection. You know, it's not wrong to pray for our own protection. Like once Srila Prabhupada gave a lecture at Bhaktivedanta Manor, and in the lecture he said that you all can fall down, but I cannot fall down. That's the difference between you and me. You all can fall down, but I cannot fall down. Then after the lecture, Srila Prabhupada came before the deities and he was praying. And one disciple asked Srila Prabhupada, what were you praying? And Srila Prabhupada replied, I was praying to the deities that I may never fall down. And the disciple said, but Srila Prabhupada, you just said that you can never fall down. And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, because I'm always praying that I may never fall down. Therefore, I can never fall down. So, number 9 is actually a series of 5 verses from Srimad Bhagavatam, which, well, I'll read the translation. It is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam 1:2:17-21, Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses the desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who relishes his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. So Srila Prabhupada began from the point that because the population was absorbed in material enjoyment, they could not appreciate the message of Vasudeva. But here he's saying that if they hear the message of Vasudeva, the desire for material enjoyment will be cleansed. And so it's similar to this, the idea of Rupa Goswami, that even though the holy name, form, qualities, and pastimes of Krishna may be bitter to the diseased, conditioned soul, but if he takes the medicine, he'll be cured of the disease, and then he'll be able to relish the sweetness. By regularly hearing the Bhagavatam and rendering service unto the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is practically destroyed, and loving service unto the glorious Lord, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. So both methods work, serving the person Bhagavat and reading the book Bhagavat. And from the very beginning, Srila Prabhupada engaged the devotees in service. Of course, one famous example was when the man walked into the storefront at 26 Second Avenue with a roll of toilet paper, and he offered it to Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada accepted it. And he said, you know, he's begun his devotional service. Once someone came again to the old storefront in New York with some leaflets or tracts of some Mayavadi, and Srila Prabhupada accepted them. And then later, when the devotees were distributing prasad, he handed out the Mayavadi leaflets for them to use as like paper plates. So Prabhupada was, he knew the value of devotional service, and he did whatever he could to engage anyone and everyone in devotional service. At that time, loving service is established in the heart, and the modes of passion, rajas, and ignorance, tamas, and lust and desire, kama, disappear from the heart. So again, Prabhupada prayed that the people are covered by passion and ignorance. How will they be able to understand your method? So here he says, yes, that by hearing from the person Bhagavat and rendering service to the person Bhagavat, hearing the book Bhagavat from the person Bhagavat and rendering service, one will become free from the lower mode, and he'll be established in goodness, and he'll be able to understand the message. Then the devotee is established in goodness and becomes happy. Thus established in the mode of goodness, the man, rejuvenated by loving service to the Lord, gains liberation from material association, mukti, and comes to know scientifically of the personality of Godhead. Thus the knots of the heart and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive actions, karma, is terminated when one sees the self as master. So Srila Prabhupada prays to Krishna to give his mercy to us, to make his words suitable, and to make us appreciate his message. But then we also have to take up the process. And here, again, I think of the example that Sri Prahlad gave last night of the person in the well, that the person in the well is helpless. On his own, he cannot get out of the well. But if someone comes and puts a rope down into the well, he can be delivered. But still, he has to hold on to the rope. And therefore, the mercy of the spiritual master is that he gives the instructions. And if we hold on to the instructions, he will lift us out of the well of material existence and deliver us to the lotus feet of Krishna. Once in Bombay, one disciple said to Srila Prabhupada that, please give me your mercy that I may follow your instructions. And Srila Prabhupada replied that it's like you're in a well and I hand down the rope to lift you out of the well. And you're praying, oh Prabhupada, please make my fingers curl around the rope and hold on. Prabhupada said, no. You know, my mercy is that I send down the rope, but you have to hold on to it. So Srila Prabhupada's mercy is he gives us the instructions. He prays to Krishna that we can appreciate the instructions. But we also have to do our part. And therefore, sometimes Srila Prabhupada, you know, because both are involved, and if someone was too far on one side, Prabhupada would emphasize the other side to bring them to the proper position. So once again in Bombay, one Indian gentleman came to Srila Prabhupada and he said, you know, Swamiji, Swamiji, please save me. Only you can save me. You know, I'm drowning in the ocean of material existence. Please save me. Only you can save me. And Srila Prabhupada replied, I cannot save you. But I can give you the method by which you can be saved. But you have to do the work. So this is the combination that works. Prabhupada's mercy in the form of his instructions and his prayers to Krishna, that we can appreciate his mercy, appreciate his instructions, and our efforts. But of course he also inspired us to make efforts, and he continues to do so today.